from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Hello, I'm James Gilbert with the Public Affairs Office. My guest today is Luke Bailey, the Public Works Director here at Yuma Proving Ground. Luke, thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My background is I was born and raised in Illinois. I went to the University of Illinois where I studied civil engineering. After graduating college, I enlisted in the Army where I served about 3.5 years as a human intelligence collector. And after that, I finished my enlistment and then I applied to a Navy Civil Engineer Corps officer program, you know, more in line with my education and background. So I was accepted to that, and then I went to officer candidate school. And after training, I spent 2 years here in Yuma at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma as an assistant public works officer. And then I did 2 years at Naval Air Station Lemoore. That was 2016 to 2020 timeframe that I was active duty in the Navy. After my second tour in the Navy, I decided to get out of the Navy and pursue civilian employment in the government. So I found a job back at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma and spent 3 years doing a couple different positions. I was a asset management chief and a engineering chief. My wife's from Yuma originally, so she went with me to Lemoore, so it was good to come back here and bring the family back to where we had some roots.
You were at Lemoore before taking the position here?
So I was at Lemoore before I spent about 3 years at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma as a civilian employee. So after about 3 years there, that's when I found or was hired on to do this position here.
I'm assuming your roles at MCAS Yuma were similar to the duties and responsibilities that you're going to have here.
Yes, that's correct. So at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, being a Marine Corps base, they run their installations a little bit differently, at least organization-wise. So there's definitely differences and nuances to get used to here. But essentially, I was working for their public works director doing similar type functions that we do here at Yuma Proving Ground.
What are the challenges you see here, or if there is any, if anything's on the horizon, or is it going to be business as usual?
So at Yuma, both the air station here at Yuma Proving Ground, I think we have some somewhat unique challenges, or at least challenges that aren't experienced throughout the DoD, being a somewhat remote location, not just Yuma itself, but also here at Yuma Proving Ground. We're, you know, even 30 miles or so removed from Yuma proper. So recruiting can always be a challenge, getting qualified, talented people to come work. So that's definitely a challenge that DPW sees. I think it's seen throughout the garrison. Other than that, you know, there's similar issues that come along with being a smaller type installation and being a test installation as well, getting funding that we need to do various facility and infrastructure upgrades. Historically, I would suspect we see a smaller piece of the budget than some of the larger installations because our missions may not require or rely as heavily on facilities, a lot of field testing of equipment. We still have to make sure that we can provide reliable utilities and facilities capable of accomplishing the mission, but doing so in an environment where funding is always challenging, kind of across the board throughout the DoD. Those are the types of challenges that we face as far as how are we going to get enough funding, get qualified people, and ultimately be able to, you know, provide the service that we need to the garrison.
Is the service that the public works provide to the garrison, is that on a macro level, or is it down to assisting any soldier or civilian with the problems that they have, and how would they go about reporting it?
I guess it's kind of both. So big picture, obviously, the director of public works you know, me currently in the position is responsible for kind of the big picture as far as supporting the garrison with functional and mission-capable facilities, utilities, you know, real estate, et cetera. Obviously, we have, you know, a sizable organization, around 50 people, and those people have various functions, you know, all the way down to the managing incoming work orders sent in by a family or a soldier. So yes, we do oversee all of that. We have an organization in place to do so. So from the big picture down to responding to, you know, an electrical issue or a water, you know, plumbing type issue, we're responsible for all of that.
How would somebody go about reporting an issue?
So we have a program called ARMA, Army Maintenance. Yeah, so that's where facility managers are advised to report. And then we take inputs into there and create work orders. And then we have a workflow for how those work orders go throughout their life cycle until the point that they're ultimately, you know, carried out and the problem solved. So we have processes in place for that, and we're working on, you know, how do we best communicate these procedures to people as well as fine-tuning them so that we can be more efficient and meet the needs of the tenants.
What's something about the Public Works Department that people may not know?
What I see a lot in public works in general and here specifically, maybe not so much as at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, but it's a line of work where it's easy to see the issues. When facilities have issues, people take notice, people want to get them fixed, and rightfully so. But we carry out our mission every day in keeping our facilities as well maintained and mission capable as we can, which takes a lot of effort, you know, from 50 plus people in the organization to all of the support that we contract out to basically run all of the facilities on this installation. It's a huge job, and people don't always notice the parts of it that go well. They tend to notice the parts that don't go well, which makes complete sense, and I understand it, but that's just kind of the nature of the business. But I think some people just may not realize everything that the DPW does on a day-to-day basis to help keep our facilities functioning so we can continue to accomplish our mission here.
Well, that's going to wrap things up here, Luke, and I really want to thank you for taking the time to be here and talking to us about what you do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
Welcome back to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. The Army stands by the motto, People First. One of the ways of putting people first is providing resources for soldiers and DoD civilians. Here to tell us about some of those resources is Scott Zahler. Scott, you wear many hats, which makes you the perfect person to talk to about resources. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Anna.
You're the Army Substance Abuse Program Manager, the Employee Assistance Program Director, and the Suicide Prevention Program Manager. How do you keep it all straight?
It's really all about time management, honestly, you know, taking care of the important things first and then, you know, working down from there. And so it's really a question of impact. You know, what thing can I do right now that's going to have the biggest impact based on, you know, all my different functions and the different things that I do. And that's how I manage my time.
Well, let's start talking about the different programs and how you can help the community with these programs. So the first one we'd like to talk about is the Employee Assistance Program.
So the Employee Assistance Program is a benefit provided to DA civilians, family members of DA civilians, adult family members of soldiers, retirees, their adult family members. And it is a assistance, not necessarily a counseling program. The Army makes it clear that it's non-clinical, but I do assistance for a variety of things that the Army puts in a big umbrella of work stress, life stress, and home stress. So anything that falls into those categories, work stress, life stress, home stress, is my lane. So I could help somebody with stress management or communication skills or really anything that falls in there. And if it gets out of my scope, if it's something that's, you know, that has a clinical diagnosis, something like that, then I have resources, whether it's in town or on base, that I could help them get linked up with to better address that particular issue. The vast majority of the time, though, somebody might be going through a hard time or hard day at work, and they come over, they talk to me for an hour or 90 minutes or something like that, and they feel better afterwards. And they may or may not come and see me again, which is totally fine. And I'm that sort of resource. It's something that you know, management can use if they have somebody that, you know, may be having a hard time at work, and there may be a nexus outside of work. Maybe they're, you know, have a parent who's ailing, you know, and that's taken a lot of time and a lot of attention for that employee. I could help that employee find resources on elder care or different resources, whether it's through the VA or through the local medical system here, to help them better manage that so that they can in turn turn around and focus better on their position at work. And that's just one example right there. Or somebody's having depression or anxiety, you know, I could help with that. Very often in those cases, what I'll do is I'll, you know, if somebody needs more specialized care from a psychologist or a psychiatrist or something like that, I'll help them find one in town. And then, you know, because of the nature of private health care, people can't get in there very quickly, or maybe they can't get in as often as they want. So I fill that gap in between their sessions with that higher credentialed provider.
And that's great. So I guess letting the community know that if there's something in their life that's causing stress, that they can look to you. And again, like you said, even if you're not the one that's going to provide it, you can at least make it easier for them to get those services by providing them those resources and information on how to get connected with them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's talk about the Army Substance Abuse Program, also known as ASAP. And we do want to note that April marks Alcohol Abuse Awareness Month.
That it does. And in fact, just to keep plugging on that, we're doing an event that's coordinated between us and ACS. It's called the SAFE event because April is Alcohol Awareness Month. April is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's also a month of Military Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month as well. So all of us, you know, people that have a hand in those things, we got together and we're going to do an event over by the fire station like we've done in previous years, April 30th, yes. And that was put together by Arlene over there at Sharp. It's doing a really fantastic job. But so the Army Substance Abuse Program, what we do is we provide training, education, and resources to prevent substance abuse issues. So we want to get out in front of that problem for our civilian employees, our soldiers. So we do lots of training. We do a quarterly at the theater for, you know, to meet those annual training requirements. I look at different trends that are local to us in Yuma, and I just try and get that word out. Hey, here's a watch out for. Hey, here's some changes in local law that everybody needs to know. Here's some maybe drug trends that are affecting our, you know, our you know, not just us, but our friends, our family members. So just things to watch out for, and then resources to look at. Should something rise to the level of a problem, where to go to get help for that. And that's something, again, as the EAP, I can do that for the DA civilians and their family members of soldiers. For soldiers, I could get them pointed in the right direction to access the resources that are available to only that active duty population. But yeah, it's really a question of prevention, education, getting out in front of that problem. That way, we've got a soldier, we've got a civilian that could focus on their job and you know, get things done without those external distractions and issues.
Right, because you don't want anything to happen where it could affect your security clearance. So if you get ahead of the problem then and get treatment, then that won't count against you, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. There was a change recently, well, not recently, but in the last several years on the SF-86, the background check questionnaire. There used to be a question there that the question was, have you ever received counseling or seen a counselor? Your options were yes or no. And what they found, what the DOD found on this was that there were a lot of civilians, a lot of soldiers that didn't want to jeopardize their clearance. So even though they may have known that they would benefit from, you know, treatment or something like that, they weren't doing it because they didn't want to jeopardize their clearance, or if they did, they didn't want to lie on their form. So the Department of Defense actually change that question. And it still says, have you ever, you know, sought counseling or seen a counselor? But then it gives several exceptions to saying yes to that. So they've really made a lot of really important strides, frankly, in that particular area. Because, you know, we want soldiers, we want civilians to seek help. You know, the Army as a organization has an interest in retaining people instead of firing them or kicking them out, because then, you know, in the big picture of the resource management world, then they have to recruit somebody, they have to train somebody, they have to onboard somebody, and that, you know, that all takes time. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a very strong interest to retain people, to get them to treatment, to do the things they need to do so that they could, you know, move back into, you know, a fully effective warfighter or civilian support person or whatever they happen to do. And that's really a really positive change, I think, in the last several years that the Army's seen.
Definitely. And thanks for mentioning that change, because I think that will help people when they are, you know, thinking of seeking help over something like drinking. The next program that you have information on is the Suicide Prevention Program. Tell me about what services you can offer.
The Suicide Prevention Program is something that is also part of our functions here, and that is a training, education, and a resource point. You know, we're not staffed to do crisis intervention, but what we do is we do training for soldiers, civilians, family members, on how to respond to somebody that may be experiencing issues, whether that's a family member, a coworker, a fellow soldier, battle buddy, something like that. So, you know, ways to manage that, ways to recognize when something might be going wrong. So, you know, much like with the substance abuse, instead of waiting for a crisis to do something, we want to get out in front of it. And, you know, so I train people to recognize warning signs, to recognize risk factors, and then, you know, how to ask questions that can help identify maybe the severity of a problem, and then what to do next, you know, where to get them to, where that's emergency sources, where that's medical. There's crisis lines. The U.S. government, DOD, for many years has had the suicide crisis line. That's the 867 talk number, but they've recently changed that, or they've added functionality to it to be able to call 988 instead of trying to remember a big long 888-927 talk or whatever it is. So now anybody can dial 988 from any phone, and that'll link them up to the suicide and substance abuse crisis line, in which they're connected with professional crisis counselors on the line that could help address issues immediately, that could bring in maybe emergency services immediately, something like that. Great resource. It's available to anybody. It's not, you know, soldier specific. It's not, you know, DA civilian specific. Anybody can call that 988 number and get the help they need, you know, during that crisis point.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you also have booths throughout the year with information and also the gun locks. And so you do a lot. You're a very visible person around the post. If somebody does want to go talk to you in private, you're located in the same building as the CAC office on the Howard Cantonment. What building number is that?
It's building 501, right upstairs.
Okay. And how can people get a hold of you?
You can call me at 928-328-2249. Or my email, scott.r.zaylor.civ@army.mil. Probably easier to call me.
Rolls off the tongue, right?
It just rolls right off the tongue, that's right. Probably easier just to call or swing by. I'm available Monday through Thursday, regular working hours. I come to work at 6, like many of you, and go home at 16:30, like many of you. You know, if you're in the area, stop by and see me. I mean, if you've ever been to my tables, you know I've got, you know, things to give out. I've got stress balls, and I've got gun locks, like you mentioned, which were given to us through the VA, actually. And it's got the crisis line printed on them right there, all free. I've got all kinds of giveaways, because really, one of the primary things when we talk about prevention for anything, really, is having visibility, having the information available quickly. So I've got pens with the phone numbers. I've got eyeglass cleaners with the 988 phone number. I've got keychains with the 988. Stop by. You know, we'll give you something that could potentially be a resource in the future should something come up and people say, God, I remember that guy talked. I remember he said something about this. And then you look at the pen, you know, or the stress ball or whatever. It's like, oh, the phone number's right there. I got it. Right. So, yeah, I've got all that available in my office.
Well, that's great. And thank you for your time today. And thank you for what you do for YPG and the Army.
Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.